The Lord bless you with His sweet, sweet presence tonight. It is Friday, 4:22 a.m., April 17th, 2015. And I don't know who is praying for longer messages, but I'm going to throttle you. No, just teasing. I'm really happy that the messages are longer because I love to hear from the Lord, and I know it's edifying for you. But this is kind of a long one again tonight. You know, I get hit with doubts. Well, maybe the Lord won't speak with me tonight. Did I make Him unhappy with me by doing something that I'm not aware of? Maybe He won't speak to me tonight. And the moment I stopped worshiping and I sat before the Lord and right away He started speaking to me and He said, I told you I would speak to you every night. It's not your performance that determines that. It's my word, beloved. I said, are you upset with me, Lord? I tried to do the right thing today. No, my love, I'm not. Then He began the message. Things are drawing to a close in preparation for this war. I want you to be well aware that it could break on you at any moment. I want you to remind people about Miami. You have many newcomers who are not aware of those prophecies. It would be good to upgrade them and put them out again. And I asked Him, upgrade how? And He said, well, make them fresh, consolidate and add to them, shorten the originals and bring them together again in the context of waiting. Those of you who've been with me for months are going to see a slight replay on a couple of prophetic videos because that's the one thing we're waiting for as far as the rapture is concerned. The Lord told me many years ago it would be the destruction of Miami that would signal that He's coming for His bride. So even though I kind of get ramped up with everyone else on feast days and other things, really the bottom line is that's what He told me and that's what I'm looking for and waiting on. Even though it's a terribly sad and tragic event, it is the signaling of His return for His bride. So I will be putting that out fairly soon, God willing. Okay, I wanted to tell you, I went to Walmart today to pick something up that I can only get there, because I don't like going to that store. I asked one of the local Hispanic ladies working in the checkout, I asked her, are you aware of all of the closures of the Walmart stores in Texas and I think California too? And she looked at me quizzically. She just looked at me and she said, no. And I thought, oh boy, this is really not good. So I told her a little bit more about it, and she looked at me like I was a little weird. So I realized that this was not going anywhere, so I just was quiet at that point. So returning to what the Lord said, what people are missing is what is going on all around them that they are unaware of. Like the woman at Walmart, she works there but has no clue about all the closures. Her children are busy with their young lives, and she doesn't use the internet. She doesn't see. The powers that be are counting on this to take everyone by surprise. They're so used to saber rattling that the news is just more blah, 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 blah. These things have been done to desensitize the public from the real threats. They get so used to hearing the same things about Israel, the Middle East, and Russia. They figure it'll blow over even as your daughter does. Just another saber rattling. It's all inconsequential. There's nothing you can do to change that. As you've noticed, when you tell them what's going on, they just look at you with a blank stare. And this town is very provincial, which is to its benefit, for it's considered one of the safer places to be, preserved for vacationing. In fact, many places in the U.S. are tourist destinations, and the wealthy government officials have set them out to be mostly untouched, so they can continue to be used for recreation. Even their children frequent this place. What I'm trying to say is that this place has a degree of protection. It is mostly out of harm's way. Areas that are most dangerous are crossroads of major highways. Key points in transportation will be secured very quickly. Out-of-the-way locations will be, for the most part, ignored, unless it is discovered that there are hostiles living there. Lord, what do you mean by hostiles? People who will not go along with the plan. Many of them are already targeted, but they're not foolish. They're well aware. This place, above all others, will be less traumatic. However, the effects of CERN will be experienced all over the world, and the only protection is their closeness to me. Most of the church body is sound asleep, Claire, and has no idea what they're facing or how they're going to cope with it. That is why I'm sending revival such as never been seen on earth. And as usual, this has not been taken into consideration by the powers. For I will visit members of the armed forces and turn them against the evil they've been prepared to carry out. All persons, with exception of those made by men, will get the opportunity to change course. There will be a great falling away from the military as ordinary men see what's being done to their country, their mothers, their fathers, and grandparents. They will be struck deeply in their conscience and foil many maneuvers to further destroy this country. That will give the hostiles the edge they need to protect a portion of the country. Do you see, Claire? I too have made my plans. I too have made my preparations, and the supposed wisdom of men I will turn to foolishness. However, for those without a soul, destruction of the demon-inhabited body is the only solution. There's no allegiance to any power but Satan's. Lord, how will they know who these clones are? The eyes are the window to the soul. A soulless body will have dark eyes, not a glimmer, only steely cold blackness. So cold, so evil, you can feel it, much like you have both encountered in exorcisms and deliverances. When the evil spirit is in control, the eyes become black like marbles. Oh Lord, thank you for speaking with me. This is the absolute high point of my day, except for worship. I know, my love. That is why I assured you, it is not your performance that makes this possible. It is my mercy and nothing more. I love the sweet little flock I have sent you, soul by soul. I love them dearly, and it's my great desire to speak with them every day. Oh, how I love them, and what I will leave behind for others will be invaluable in building their faith. There will be a great harvest from these messages, and I will have many followers who will be strengthened. I'm really glad you said that, Lord, that you would have many followers. I don't want followers. Besides, I'm not leading, you are. This is very true, but nonetheless, you will be misunderstood by those who have hidden agendas, jealousies, and just refuse to open their hearts. They will suffer the most. It is good for you to continue to teach how destructive judgment is to each soul. It is good for all of you to take these words to heart and not allow an entrance for pride and judgment. My children, I have warned you again and again about judging. But when you judge my prophets, you incur serious repercussions in your life immediately. You will find that the results will be immediate because I'm trying to break you of this wicked habit. Do you understand? When you judge others, and especially my vessels unto honor, that you invite a host of demons to sift you and your family? Do you understand that when you spread false reports about the innocent and slander their character, that you have brought a curse down upon yourself? I have to tell you, you will see more and more division and strife among your friends for such behavior, because beneath it all there is spiritual jealousy, the most destructive force in my body. When you engage patterns of jealousy, you actually oppose me and the operation of my gifts, and I will hold you accountable for the souls I could not reach because you spread lies about the vessel. What was quickened to me was 1 Corinthians 10. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. And I'd like to say here, I'm not saying agree with something that you consider error. You know, that would be against your conscience, and that's not what I mean. But if you think about it, it's just wiser not to speak out unless you really see some serious error that could result in the loss of souls. If it's minor things, I think it's wiser not to mention it because you don't want to cause division. If it's a serious thing that has to do with the salvation of a soul, then yes, it's important to speak out. But just to correct people because of your opinion doesn't agree with theirs, this really divides the body and gets the focus off the Lord and what he's trying to do through a vessel. I don't think anyone's perfect in their doctrine. There's always going to be something that someone misses. We want to foster a spirit of unity and love, not of dissension and division. And I want to take a moment here and confess to you all that in the past, if someone hurt me or had something that I really wanted but didn't have, I would get jealous and find fault with them. In the beginning of our marriage, Ezekiel and I had some really terrible, terrible problems, strife and misunderstanding every day, to the point where it's an absolute miracle that we stayed together. Some of you, to this day, have strife with your spouse. You don't have peace, but constant quarreling. I must say, that's the way it was for us. Then one day, the Lord revealed to us the cause of this. We'd been discussing people between the two of us and downgrading them. That opened the door for Satan to sift us. So we tried to stop. May I say, every time we harbored judgment in our hearts or opened our mouths with just a hint of judgment, something bad would happen and we'd get into another fight. It soon became evident we were opening the door for the demons by the sin of judgment. Why do you suppose the Lord waited until I was 68 before he used me in ministry? I mean, really. It took us that long to overcome that fault and to love others and consider them better than ourselves. He hates calumny more than anything I can think of. At least if you murder someone, they are no more. Their lives are over. But when you invent stories about others, you deprive the Lord of the good he wanted to do with that vessel that continues to live on. It's as if you did murder them, because to those you've spread lies about them, they might as well be dead. They can't do any good because you've destroyed their reputation. Now Ezekiel and I have a wonderful and peaceful relationship. And I tell you the truth, the major thing that changed our dynamics was thinking the best about others and refusing to gossip or listen to gossip. And even to this day, boy, I'll tell you, the devils try to tempt us with entering into judgment. But the Lord helped us. And I want to say, God, help us now if we're foolish enough to slip up. It always results in something very unpleasant. So please, dear ones, take this to heart. Psalm 7:14, whoever is pregnant with evil conceives trouble, and gives birth to disillusionment. Whoever digs a hole and scoops it out falls into the pit they have made. The trouble they cause recoils on them. Their violence comes down on their own heads. So it is even written that when we are pregnant with evil, evil thoughts, that it gives birth to disillusionment, you know, which causes you to want to give up, causes other people to want to give up their Christian walk. So, okay, Lord, I had my say. And a very good say it was, too. Unfortunately, there will be some who cannot receive this, but perhaps you can receive by their fruits you will know them. And I encourage you to look at the fruits of those whom I have chosen to minister. There you will find their accreditation. But I want to warn you, dear ones, there will be such disorder in the future that people will long for answers and be willing to listen. To those of you who are my remnant, these will be the days you've always dreamt of, hungry hearts reaching out for truth. Once earthly comforts and consolations are removed, once lives are put at risk and chaos breaks out, those who would not seek me before will seek me until they find me now and be eager to be added to the kingdom, even if it means their head. Now I have one more word for you. Persevere in holiness up until the final hour. Do not consider anything of this world worthy of compromising your integrity. I know you are all suffering more in these days than you have in the past. For multitudes of reasons, each of you are carrying a heavier cross. I want you to know this is my doing. Do not try to wiggle out of it. I need your sacrifices and fast offerings to rescue those who are marginal, those who are just biding their time in the world, figuring things will go on forever, and they don't have to look at who they are before me. These are the ones we are fighting for now. Claire, some of your children are in this group. For many of you, it is children, grandchildren, husbands, wives, dear friends, and distant relatives. You have tried over and over again to get their attention, but your words sailed by them in the wind. Still, I am working with them on a level you cannot see or sense. It is hidden to you. And part of the reason for this is that I don't want you to step in and spoil it. There's much resistance built up to you, and I'm speaking to their hearts in a totally different way. Were you to see just how close they are getting, you would rush in and push them away again. So be patient. Trust me. Carry your cross with determination, knowing that it will bear fruit. A scripture was quickened to me. Now I am rejoicing while suffering for you, as I complete in my flesh whatever remains of the Messiah's sufferings on behalf of his body, which is the church. That's Colossians 1:24. The Lord continued, I'm telling you this now so you will not grow weary in well-doing. What are your crosses? Surly people who mock you, inconveniences like flat tires, frustrations when things aren't working for you, mental and spiritual pain, when you are travailing for others and they simply show no signs of conversion. You mothers and fathers are suffering greatly because the world is so enticing to your children, you just can't compete with it or their peers. Mental health, depression, anxiety. Some of you are carrying almost unbearable crosses. Cry out to me and I will strengthen you. And last but not least, in any sense of the word, physical pain and illness. For those of you who have had chronic conditions that refuse to yield to prayer and positive confession that by my stripes you were healed, to those of you I say, indeed you are suffering for me. Indeed you are bringing forth the sweet fruit of conversion that you will see on that day. Rather than being steeped in condemnation from the inside or the outside, you're not healed because there's sin in your life, because you lack faith, because you aren't right with God. I say to you, lies, lies, lies. This is a critical time of great importance. Soon many who are not right with me will die. I am pouring out graces right now to bring them to me before it's too late. I am receiving your sufferings as a fast offering. You have longed to serve, but felt frustrated because of illness incapacitating you. Little do you know that you are majorly responsible for the success of ministers who are high profile and reaping a harvest. Little do you know that I have chosen you because you love me and are willing to suffer anything for me. So brush away those condemning voices and be comforted in me. You are my partners in the redemption of the lost. May I say something, Lord? Please do. Please don't misunderstand what he's saying here. The finished work of a cross has opened the gates of heaven forever. No more fasting or offerings are necessary for that. As he said, it is finished. However, someone has to soften the hearts and deliver the messages. And your prayers are powerful, even more powerful, when you back them up by fasting or receiving inconvenience, frustration, depression, and anxiety, and physical infirmities that refuse to yield to prayer. By receiving these things in a spirit of sacrifice to Almighty God on behalf of the conversion of sinners. After all, the Lord did say, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. You're doing a mighty work by backing up grace with offerings. Even as I'm sharing this message with you, there are others backing me up with their prayers and sacrifices, or these words would fall on deaf ears, or perhaps not reach the ears of those who need them. So please be encouraged. You are indeed following in Jesus' footsteps, and quietly, by being hidden, backing up the efforts of those who are visible, ministering. It will be quite some event when you see the fruit you bore by your courageous and humble suffering. The Lord continued after that, my brides, I truly adore each and every one. And if you feel your cross is heavier than the ones others are carrying, understand, it is your great love for me that enabled me to place this cross on your back. You are indeed my powerful army of intercessors, and someday you will be shocked to see exactly where the credit lies for conversions. It will be substantially shared with those who delivered the message. I bless you all now with increased patience, vigor, courage, and strength to continue in this way until I relieve you of the burden and take you to myself. Amen.